I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Yep. Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
The Jets. Only the Jets can out-Jets the Jets. Shout out to Peter Schwartz wearing his Jet sweater. KM to AM, Keith McPherson on The Fan. Y'all, that was hilarious. I'm looking at Twitter. Rich Sabini, what a gaffe. Corley drops it before the end zone. It rolls out of the end zone for a touchback. My guy, Antoine Winfield. Twan says Malachi Corley fumbled the ball out of the end zone as he dropped it. The Texans will take over after the touchback. Unreal. Brian Costello says, oh my God. All the Jets reporters are in shock.
You were asking for some comic relief.
Yeah. What did I say about the Jets? I have tears in my eyes because you can always count on them. We needed it, yo. You can always count on the Jets. This is a rookie who had to change his number because Devontae Adams comes over here. People were asking why he wasn't so involved in the offense. You have your answer now. His first opportunity on national television to score a touchdown. His first career NFL touchdown. He's so quick to want to celebrate and put his arms out to run like a jet through the end zone. He does not score. We just saw Kyle Pitts get close to this. The first thing I said, that's a DeSean Jackson. I don't know how guys still do this in any level of football. When you get to pay dirt, get to pay dirt. That's a tug. I don't know. That is incredible. It's not about your celebration. It's about scoring the touchdown. Nobody stopped you from scoring that touchdown but yourself, young man. He's about to be glued to the bench. 888-808-1019. Still scoreless in the Meadowlands as the Jets are dressed in all black with the black end zones and the black Jets logo at the 50-yard line. I said to Peter Schwartz, the Jets are favored in this game. Again, a 6-2 team versus a 2-16. Well, there's a swing right there. You can't trust these guys for anything. And it was a gadget play to get this young man the ball. They did a reverse. And here he comes with the blocking. He's got a clear path, untouched. Nobody stopped him from scoring but himself. 888-808-1019. Now it's open for some Jets reaction, but I know that's going to come later in the game, especially if they lose this game and go 2-7 and have another L in this losing streak. I obviously opened up talking about the Yankees. And my message to Yankee fans is, you know, it's a relief. The season's over. It absolutely sucks. It ripped your heart out. I was heartbroken. I was disgusted. I was in that stadium thinking I might have to go to the bathroom and throw up. I wasn't drinking to have to throw up. I didn't eat anything that would make me throw up. I had great food. I was visibly, sick and sweating. And it was humid, but the sweat that I was having was the nerves. If you follow me on Twitter, I didn't even tweet. There are no videos of me on Instagram or Twitter celebrating. I had a bad feeling. I literally said, I'm off Twitter, I'm locking in, because I didn't trust them. That says a lot. I did not trust them. And even though they came out on fire, they had all the energy, all the mojo, I still didn't trust them to get 27 out, seal the deal, and get on that flight back to LA, and it never happened. So 888-808-1019, that is Juan Soto's last game in pinstripes for now. Let's play the last cut that we have from Juan Soto, or the next two. I don't know. If there's one, play that one, and then I'll get back to the phones. Ton of Yankee fans still want to weigh in, and this is therapeutic. This is a cleansing. This is hopefully exhaling and letting it go. Another season in the books. The dream of a World Series turns into a nightmare. The nightmare before Halloween. It is what it is now. Got to hold them accountable. Point at the Yankees and say, this is on you. This is not on us. And it's not that you lost. It's how you lost. Okay, let's hear from free agent Juan Soto.
I feel like everybody wants to be in a winning team. That's one of the biggest things that you look up to. You want to be part of these, you know, even if you don't make it to the last team standing, you want to be part of, you want to be involved in all of these. So I think that's one of the biggest things I'm looking for. We got to sit down and look at it whenever we have a chance with my agent and everything, and we will see what it's going to do.
Yeah, so, I mean, Juan Soto, if you saw the video online, he sat in the dugout and he watched the Dodgers. Till this day, I have not seen the Dodgers on the field. If I see it on social media, I scroll past it. I didn't watch anything on TV today. I got out of that stadium so fast. I had to get down here. I did not see them. I did not see the final out. I did not see them celebrate. I was booking it. I was out. I do not like the Astros celebrating on the field at Yankee Stadium is burned into my mind. I did not. I couldn't do it. So Juan Soto sat there and he took it all in. But he just told you he wants to be on a winning team. This is a guy that now has played in two World Series, lost one. But he also wants to get paid. And Boris has trained him well. And they are about to go get top dollar. So if you think you're getting Juan Soto and not the highest offer, you're probably mistaken. And if you think you're a non-competitive team and getting Juan Soto, you're probably like the teams that are going to bid for Juan Soto are going to be winning teams. I know the Mets are a third place team. I know the Mets and Guardians never faced off for their bronze medal this October, but the Mets are building a culture where they're going to win. Like they went on a ridiculous win streak and they went on a ridiculous winning percentage and run to get to where they were and surviving those postseason games to get to the sixth game of the NLCS. Like, the Mets are obviously in the running. The Dodgers are rumored to be in the running. The Phillies are rumored to be in the running. Of course, the Yankees are going to be in the running. And yeah, we'll see who else. And only the Jets can out-Jets the Jets. Are you serious, bro? Is that real? So after the touchback, giving the Texans the ball, the defense goes out there and does their job. The offense gets the ball back, and in their next drive, please tell me that's incomplete. That's going to be incomplete. Okay, I was about to say. And then next drive, Aaron Rodgers throws the ball at Tyler Conklin. He fumbles it, and the Texans return it for a touchdown. That's going to be incomplete. They're not going to rule that a catch. I don't know. No, that's not a catch. It's not enough. In slow-mo, it looks like it. I'm like, the Jets are incredible. Like, that's an incomplete pass. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Tony in Ramsey on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, first-time caller.
Thanks.
As much as we're all heartbroken over this, it's really, if you're a real Yankee fan, it's not like this wasn't, unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we've seen over the years, and actually this season, I attribute it to the culture and Aaron Boone's, first of all, mismanagement of the pitching staff was evident in game one, taking Cole out early, then not sticking with Luke Weaver. Everybody, even Brett Boone, expected him to bring in Hill, and he tries to be cute and bring in Nestor, who hasn't pitched in over a month. So we lost that game. And then as my buddy, shout out to Jim, he said last night's game was just it was a summary of the season. We had a great first half. We were clicking. Second half of the game in the fifth inning was what we had in the second half of the season. And that breeds a culture based on non-accountability, base running blunders,
yep,
leaving runners in scoring position. Really, fundamentals are not there. And if you look back at the dynasty teams, Jeter, every game counted. Every 162 games counted. He had to win every game. And that bled over in why he was so clutch in the playoffs and the World Series. Same thing, Paul O'Neill beating the crap out of the water cooler in April, the Warrior, that mentality. And that was from George.
Yeah.
And it trickled all the way down. And that's the problem is, ownership to Cashman to Boone. It's just they breed this culture, and this is what we all know what we got.
Thanks for the call, Tony. You're 100% correct. We watch it. It starts with personal accountability, being mad at yourself, not accepting less from yourself. Everyone's got to hustle to first base. But Aaron Boone will tell you, oh, yeah, Doogie, he picks his spots. He's dealing with something. He doesn't have to hustle every single time? Okay. Well, what do you expect? Right? Like when this, it's not a country club. When everybody's allowed to hang out and chill and just be in pinstripes and be the New York Yankees living off the Yankees of the past. Like, I've had these conversations on a fan too many times, dude. You guys know what it is. You know what it is. It is a culture of, look at these guys. They got their clubhouse revamped. There's a diner in there. There's a barbershop in there. There's this hangout area. Everybody's just coming to work to hang out and chill. And this Joel Sherman article, I got to keep going back to it. It's basically about how the Yankees are all talent, but no fundamentals, and their culture is just like, well, you know, we're gonna go out there and out-homer you. We got Judge and Stanton and Soto and Jazz, and we're just gonna go out there. Wells and Volpe, those guys will just they'll just hit. What happens when they don't? What happens when you got to win a close game? What happens when the margin for error is so small that that's gonna decide whether you go up in a series or not? What if like you get got trying to be cute? Nestor Cortez, oh yeah, it was riveting until it wasn't. Oh, here comes Nestor Cortez. Hasn't pitched since September 18th. He's on the roster to get out Ohtani. He gets Ohtani out. You walk Mookie Betts. And then Freddie Freeman is like, wait, I'm like, did you forget? You forget I have a ring? You forget I hit homers in the World Series? Oh, you forgot I was an MVP. You think I'm still hurt. I had 5 days to get better. We have the best doctors in treatment in LA. My ankle's fine. This is the World Series. Grand Slam, walk you off. Eat that. And then you can't eat that because you got to come back the next day. You can't stomach that. That bled into the next day. Everybody knowing you had 2 leads in that game, you should have won. So, yeah, it is a culture thing. It is a culture thing. And then people will tell you, you don't know what goes on in that clubhouse. You don't know what Aaron Boone says to these guys after games. I don't need to know that. I see what they do on the field. We need a field general, like how Posada and Jeter, it was like captain and general, captain and lieutenant. And they were never out of a game. And of course, they had their losses in blue games too, but it wasn't just a complete unraveling like that. Let's go to Gerard out in Staten Island. What's up? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you, bud?
All right. Watching the Jets and, you know, talking through this Yankees misery we have to live in.
Your last segment, New York football.
Yeah, it was
okay,
funny, man.
Like soccer. nothing score. Oh, what a great game.
For the world to see.
Lucky, bro.
From East Rutherford, New Jersey. Yep.
You hung up on me?
No. Why would I hang up?
Oh, okay. So you're picking it up. Oh, yeah, exactly. Listen, I wanted to say, call before said about your passion. Let me tell you something. My opinion, the Fan needs more guys like you, C-Mac, and Evan to share that passion for baseball.
Yeah. I don't score baseball games like those two guys. I just am more of like a go to the game and like hang out with everybody and you know.
But you want to talk about it though, you know what I'm saying? You want to get into it, and you know, New York football is just not a turn on, and you know, every single Jet and Giants fan knows that. Like I said, again, it's like lacrosse, 31-30 score. Well, what a great game. I'm only kidding. I'm breaking some guys' jobs. But listen, I wanted to lead into something. If you remember, you know, April and May with the Yankees. Remember, a couple of the big horses were down and dirty, so you have to bring up guys like Oswaldo to play. And in my opinion, that kid probably was the MVP first part of the season for the Yankees. All of a sudden, guys start getting back. I understand they're big guys, big contract guys. They come back into the lineup. And just what happens that when that happens, all of a sudden we hit in June and we're the worst team in baseball. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. And
one of my points is that why does Rizzo get to be inserted back into this lineup?
Resume,
hurt or not
veteran.
Hurt.
They lean on veterans. They lean on resume, and they lean on relationships. Thanks for the call, man. I mean, also with Oswaldo, I'll never get over Oswaldo going into that game for Gleyber as a defensive replacement, and I don't know if Gleyber makes that play that Oswaldo didn't make. Like, these moments in this World Series are going to be burned into our frontal lobes. Like, yo, Cabrera... At second base, I know he plays everywhere, but how often has he been at second base? How often have they taken Gleyber out to put in the World Series? It's like little things like that to me didn't make sense. I don't know. It's like you're overthinking it. You're doing things. It's like Cabrera can't play. Even in the DS and the CS, you're not just letting Cabrera be the guy. In the DS, it's like him, it's John Birdie. It's him, it's John Birdie. I don't know. Smartest guys in the room. Sometimes they think so hard. They think they're so smart. They come out looking real dumb. Real dumb. Jack is in Wilton, Connecticut, next up on The Fan in New York.
Hey Keith, how you doing?
All right, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. First of all, I want to say congratulations to you. What a I've never met you. I'm a humongous fan and admirer. You had a chance to call a game this season. You were part of that roll call.
Yeah.
It's so cool to see a dream come true for good people. So congratulations on a great game.
Thank you. And for a second, shout out to my boy Matt who texts me. And I know Matt's not going to call in, but he, gave me props. And he's like, season's done, but you deserve a tip of the cap for everything you did for the fans, being on the radio, pulling up to the bodega, Billy's, and, the bleacher creatures, calling the game. I just am doing what I naturally am doing as a fan. And even what I said last night, I'm like, Yankee fans, I love you guys because, I get love like I'm a player on the team. And I'm just somebody that exists in this Yankee universe the same way you guys would if you got the opportunity. Those Billy's watch parties, I didn't exactly know it was going to turn into what it turned into. But me having the connection with the people that own it, because I used to go there and drink and party years ago before I was on the fan, and them trusting me and them knowing that I have this microphone and a social following and them saying, yeah, we'll open up the big side for you. And then it blowing up to where Fox is in there. These things all happen this year. It's crazy.
Well, it's a huge deal. I think you're the voice of a lot of Yankee fans. You and John Boy are probably and everyone 45 and under probably look to you and John Boy. And it's an amazing accomplishment and congratulations.
Thank you. I'll throw Joe's McFly in there too. And there's some other people. I think Jimmy is more of a computer guy. I think people that watch the breakdowns and his podcast and are always on the computer. I think I'm more of a stadium guy and clearly a radio guy. And Joe's more of a radio guy too. I used to work with those guys. I know exactly what type of time they're on. We used to be all together.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's part of it, too. I worked for John Boy in 2019, 2020, and honestly, I don't know if I get this opportunity if it wasn't for Moose and Maggie being fans of John Boy and letting John Boy and Jake take over their midday show in 2021, and then Spike Eskin looked through the talent that was at John Boy Media, and I was doing a Yankees podcast, a Nets podcast, and behind the scenes, editing and posting and social media content, and Spike sent me an email asking about if I wanted to try out for WFAN, and I had to look him up to make sure it was valid, make sure it was real. And I got the audition, and they kind of ghosted me for a little bit. I didn't know what was going to come from it. And next thing you know, Steve Summers retires. I get the nighttime job, and fast forward, it has been 3 years.
Wow.
It does. Well, it's a movie. It's a real-life movie. I'm extremely blessed.
Well, it's wonderful to see it happen, and we're very lucky to have you. Now, really quickly, I'm in David Wells' autobiography in the special thanks section as a borderline nut job Yankees fan. So I have been, that's forever in print. And I touch on the anger that I think a lot of Yankee fans are feeling and maybe can't put their finger on. And I think it is the lack of accountability in terms of last year's 82-80 team, with the continuation of the failures of 2020, 2021, and 2022, all the failures that we saw, all the flaws that we saw, too right-handed, too, the arrogance of the organization. 82-80 was supposed to be, we were promised the wake-up call. And what the wake-up call, and that was the audit, we're going to spend more money, even though Hal will never shut up about payroll after, by the way, resetting the luxury tax twice in the Judge era. All of these moments lead up to such frustration that they never learn their lessons.
Yeah.
The lesson was, get Juan Soto and that'll make them better. What else have they learned? They haven't learned anything else. They don't pivot. They don't,
you're going to end up coming up short, cutting corners and taking shortcuts. You're right, though. We get frustrated because we're like, we haven't learned. You have to do more. You have to, this deadline passed, and Jazz Chisholm is cool and all, but, and I don't mean to throw Jazz under a bus. I am like, I thought I'd like Jazz more than I do. He did way too much talking. He did way too much talking about, we're going to win the World Series. We're bringing home 28. Where are we at now, Jazz? And, like, you came up small in too many spots. Obviously, you had the homer, and you played better in the World Series. But, like, bruh, you can't look at the deadline as, like, maybe I'll dabble, maybe I won't. The Dodgers don't.
Yes.
They add every year.
It is the last
opportunity for you to plug in holes and fill some gaps and make your team better. Don't settle and think you're good enough. And like I said, I'm mad at them because they told us around that time, Clay Holmes is our closer. We believe in Clay. And leadership was in lockstep from general manager to captain. It was like they had a meeting. They all had to tell the media after he blew, I don't know, 10 blown saves, he's our closer. They had to get him to 13, and then they demoted him. And then they put Luke Weaver there. And then your bullpen starts to get short when you lose Ian Hamilton because he gets hurt covering a base. And then you got to call on Mark Leiter Jr. And Tommy Canley only has one pitch. And like, Jake Cousins isn't as effective as he was, isn't as much of a weapon because he gets hurt towards the end of the year. Like, you start to come up short.
Yep. Well, and that's what it was, this mentality that it's okay to be goodish. That's what Hal is celebrating right now. Because he got 7 extra home gates. That dude is happy.
That's what I said. It's accountability versus accountability. The account, cha-ching, they got some great ability in there in the World Series this year. All the merch that they sold now, that stuff's probably going to be 25% off, still raking in the cash. But the accountability this is not good enough. We don't go to the World Series to lose like that, embarrass our whole fan base.
And they're a team that puts their 19th of all Major League Baseball teams of the amount of their income that goes back into payroll. I think it's 43% of their income goes back into payroll, which ranks them 19th in baseball. Like, spend the freaking money.
Well, we're about to see, Jack. Thanks for the call. We're about to see where they come in, you know, first, second, third, fourth, or, you know, whatever in the Juan Soto sweepstakes. And right now, as a fan, I told you I'm going to give you my opinion on it. I don't think it's wise for this team that has issues fielding the ball, this team that has pitching problems as far as starters in the rotation, and the bullpen, even though they're able to mix and match and have these Cashman fines every year for free. Oh, yeah, Tim Hill, come on down. Like, I don't think it's wise to put $700 million into Juan Soto, one player. When you have a lot more holes. Jason Dominguez was on this roster. Did Jason Dominguez get one at bat in the postseason? You guys see a Jason Dominguez at bat? All the talk about the Martian, embrace the Martian, release the Martian. Malachi Corley is literally glued to the bench. Like I said, somebody might have told him, sit your ass on that bench and don't you move. We should be up 7-0 right now, rookie. Anyway, speaking of rookies, Jason Dominguez, he should be in center field. Maybe he makes that catch. Judge is in right field. Judge is the right fielder. Juan Soto in left. How come we didn't try and figure out how Juan Soto could play left field? Oh, because we traded for Alex Verdugo to play left field, as, you know, Judge requested, wanted that guy on the team. I don't know, man. It's a mess. It is a mess. And the stress of that mess is gone. I was relieved that they did not get swept. I'm even more relieved that it is over because they were not beating the Dodgers. They are not fundamentally sound enough. They are not smart enough. They are not capable enough. They did not have the deep enough bench or bullpen or roster to get it done, especially with the MVP coming up small to start the series. It is what it is, yo. Chris is up in the Bronx on the Fan in New York. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Keith. How are you?
I'm all right. I mean, all things considered, like, I'm happy that, you know, like, I'm alive and it's a nice weather day and Halloween and whatnot, but I would have liked to have another game, but I don't know. The way this World Series played out, it crushed my hopes and dreams.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was fortunate, you know, just to be able to get there. But it was obviously disappointing having to leave the stadium that way. You know, just like you in 2009, I was in college. I didn't have the opportunity to witness the Yankees World Series and kind of get to revel in that. And this year, you know, lucky enough to be able to go and have to kind of, like, you know, obviously the first four innings were amazing. Great time at the stadium.
What a party.
That place was,
I have not seen that place jumping like it was, man. People out of their seats, high-fiving, hugging, beers flying, pop. It was like, woo, the energy, the mojo was back. We were doing it. Cole was no-hitting those boys, right?
Like, I know.
It was a dream. It was literally a dream turned into a nightmare so fast. It started to dissolve, and I was internally panicking. Like, my heart rate was rising. I was sweating. I'm like, they are blowing it. They are folding. No way. Yeah, yeah. That's what they did to us.
Yeah, yeah. And just what's crazy is, like, it felt like just a snowball. Like, things quickly, well, slowly, then quickly turning against our favor.
Yeah, yeah, and that's baseball. That's momentum. Thanks for the call, Chris. And that's when you're playing against a good team with talented players that aren't just laying down, that aren't going through the motions. That's why when I got on last night, I said, if you're in life right now and you're struggling, keep going. It's not over. Go through that struggle. There are better days ahead. Like 27 outs. Keep fighting to get to where you want to go. Finish the job, right? Like, they didn't do that, right? You're struggling. You're facing elimination. You're chilling like you're on top. Facing elimination in the World Series, you got to dial in. You got to be locked. I was so locked as a fan, I turned my phone off. I stopped the social media. I wanted no distractions from watching that game. Joe Mixon, that whole drive ran all over him. How many rushing yards in that drive? The Texans draw first blood, and they keep this camera on Malachi Corley. About to be 7-0 Texans in the Meadowlands. 888-808-1019. Yeah, that's what the Yankees did to us. They brought us all the way up just to hit us with the body slam down. I know some people woke up today hungover as hell because they probably drank and partied thinking, ooh, we're making history. We're forcing game six. Going back to Cali. Cali, I felt so bad for Susan. When I did get back to my phone, I saw like a quote of, you know, I guess John said to Susan, like, Susan, we may have to travel. And I think Susan's like retort was something like, yeah. And John says, like, we got a pack tonight. And Susan said, oh, I've been packed since 6:30. Like, little things like that were floating through the whole stadium. People were so sure. Of course, 5-0 lead. You're ace on the mound. You're rolling. Last game at the stadium. No way can they mess this up. Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can. Can't be trusted. So since they can't be trusted, who is to blame? Everyone. But they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. I think I heard something last night before we go to break here. 888-808-1019. I was in here when I got back to the studio from the station. I think it was me, Fleegs, and Connor listening to the post game. And I think after Aaron Boone ended, they like congratulated Aaron Boone on like winning the American League pennant. Excuse me, say what? Participation trophy. Participation trophy era. Don't worry. Here's your participation trophy. Meanwhile, we grew up in the era of Jeter being like, if you didn't win the World Series, what did you win?
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Hopefully you're having a little better night than you had last night. Yankee fans, Keith McPherson on the Fan Cam to AM, talking sports, watching sports. I'm trying to look up the rushing yards right now for Joe Mixon. Yeah. In the first half, Alex just told me he's got 88. But in the first half, the Texans have 109 rushing yards. I just saw Mixon just run through somebody, give him a forearm, just run him over, truck stick. They're just running the ball, like, having their way. 206 total yards, more than half of those are rushing yards. They don't have Nico Collins. They don't have, they don't have Stephon Diggs. And as I say that, big play from Tank Dell. Why were the Jets favorite minus three? Good teams score before the half. The Texans are in scoring position. They're at least going to get a field goal out of this. They're probably going to get greedy and try and go up 14-0 at half. And Amazon's going to keep putting the camera on Malachi Coyle, who fumbled away a touchdown and turned it into a touchback. 888-808-1019 if any Jets fans want to weigh in during halftime, which is approaching in the next minute. During the last break, I had to go and like actually read the Joel Sherman article. And I told you, like, Joel Sherman has had it out for Cashman. Or maybe he hasn't had it out for Cashman, but I don't think he likes Brian Cashman. Joel Sherman was the one with the line of questions at the Arizona GM meetings before this season. And it was almost like Cashman was talking to him or at him. But it's just damning because it's just the cold-blooded truth. The article starts out talking about Mookie Betts, who, as you know, went and played shortstop for the Dodgers this year, got hit by a pitch, you know, broke his hand, but then went back to the outfield. And he's a master in the outfield. If you watched him play in the series, you understand that guy is on everything. Even if two drunk fans are trying to pull his glove and arm into the front row, he's still making a play. So it starts off talking about how relentless he is in his work ethic and how much he works on, you know, gathering, spinning, making one-hop throws to second base from the outfield. Then it goes on to talk about the Yankees. And I'm just going to read it. In the losing Yankees clubhouse early Thursday morning, Nestor Cortes, who knew nothing of the story about Betts that I just told you about, says baseball comes down to execution, right? If you don't execute and the other team does it better than you, they're obviously going to win. And that's what we ran into this series, where they executed a lot of plays. And I've said since game one and two, it felt like they did everything right. They have Mookie Betts in right field. Every ball off the wall, he kept it to a single. And just stuff like that, you know, they capitalized on. The next paragraph after some ads says, the Dodgers won four World Series games with a 206 average, seven home runs, and 25 runs. The Yankees won one World Series game with a 212 average, nine home runs, and 24 runs. On a piece of paper where too much of the Yankees' front office continues to reside, this was an even World Series. On the field, the Yankees blundered away games 1 and 5. By the end of Wednesday night, the Dodgers being handed gift after gift to rally from a 5-run deficit to win the clincher 7-6, you could have convinced me that the Emmy for Best Comedy of the fall season should have gone to the Yankees' defense on Fox. Like, let me pause for a second. Like, Joel Sherman is writing that he is using his pen to cook the Yankees and Brian Cashman. This is the power that he has. Shout out to Joel. I've seen him at MLB Network. I've seen him in the media area at Yankee Stadium. Joel kind of walks with this air of like, I'm Joel Sherman. I write for the New York Post. I know what I'm talking about. And like, I'm telling you, like, just reading this article, I'm like, oh, this guy's, he's like, he is using this pen as a weapon right now. So he goes on to say, they played perhaps the worst fielding inning in World Series history in the fifth inning of Game 5, allowing five unearned runs to score with two outs. And this might all be bad news in the good if the Yankees learned a lesson. But why this? Why now? The Yankees have been getting eliminated by non-AL Central teams annually in October because they just do not execute the routine well. And when the level of competition goes up, those shortcomings and the ABCs of the game are fully exposed. That sounds like what I've been saying to you all night, right? You can't cut corners. You're going to come up short. When you don't do the little things, you get exposed. Like, this is basically what he's saying right there in that paragraph. But he's better with words than me. He's older than me, well-written, well-read. Good for you, Joel Sherman. Let's continue. The Yankee response annually seems to be to chase more homers and more swing-and-miss stuff, which is valuable, of course. But when a foe like the Dodgers has that too, what is going to be the separator? If you were scoring at home, the Yankees hit three balls off the wall in the 120th World Series. As part of this 90-feet-saving series-long defensive tour de force, Betts had held two to singles, one at each stadium. The Yankees talk a good game about what they work on, but there is a difference between checking items off a to-do list and taking ball after ball off an outfield wall with seriousness and purpose, even when you are a Hall of Famer like Mookie Betts. Going back to like the beginning of the story, which I didn't read, about how Mookie Betts works on this stuff every day. Of course. And that's another thing. Time out here with the article. I'm tired of just, you know, their pros. I think I heard Sean Morash today say something about being in the stadium. Man, would I have loved to be in Yankee Stadium to see all the pregame stuff, even Michael Kopech walking around. But Morash said he was watching, and he didn't see anybody doing any fielding drills. Man, that's when you got to sharpen your sword. That's when you got to do the little things. That's when you got to go over. I mean, I know they do them, but like it wasn't enough. I know I saw some videos of like Oswaldo Cabrera taking fielding practice, but that's when you got to do it over and over and over again because you don't want to be Bill Buckner. So I'll finish this and we'll get back to the calls at 888-808-1019, but you should check out this article if you're a Yankee fan and just understand it ain't us, it's them. Somebody's holding them accountable in the press. I'm holding them accountable on the radio. Joel Sherman goes on to say, to do baseball well is to emphasize and practice the routine relentlessly with enthusiasm, concentration, and pride. You are either demanding that from the top down, from Brian Cashman to Aaron Boone to the captain Aaron Judge, or you are just going through the motions. When mistake after mistake continues to be made during the season and they are not corrected because you are talenting your way to 90-plus wins, it is seeing the tornado outside of town and not evacuating. The Dodgers are eventually blowing through your town. Yeah. Chris is in Manhattan. Chris, you're on the fan.
Hey, Keith, I want to talk about baseball, but looking at some of these Aaron Rodgers reactions to these drop passes, if you want some comedy and levity.
Oh, he's pissed off. He's pissed off because that gadget play, they should have had a score on the board. Yeah, at least they did stop them from scoring, but he's been sacked. I got to see how many times he's been sacked, and he's got drops, and he's not happy.
The eye rolling is like a teenager. Anyway, listen, you know, I hear you and what you said. I really relate to what you said about how emotionally exhausting it is being a fan and physically. And I've been there, you know, with my Mets this year. So I hear you. And listen, I got back from work tonight. I was like, I was so sad that there wasn't a game on, though. You know, it's a long winter for
me. There wasn't going to be a game tonight anyway. It
no, I know, but you know what I mean? Like, I guess I miss baseball already.
Rich Ackerman said, but, you know, when you're a baseball fan, it's like your friend is gone. Your friend is out of town now for a while. And I felt that.
What I wanted to say is, you know, talking about the accountability thing, and, you know, obviously Met fans have lived through that. I remember with Rojas and some of these managers before. I'll never forget something I heard Jimmy Leland say. And I know we all, you know, talk about the old days and stuff. And I get it. I feel like we've gone so far the other way. There's got to be a happy medium where there can still be managers that are able to penetrate and get this point across. But I never forget, Jim Leland made a comment when he had to call a player out or really discipline them or let him know, like, that's not going to work. He said something, the quote was, if I say something to him today, I lose him for 24 hours. If I don't say something ever, I lose him forever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great bar. Quote, but, that's a great line.
And I just don't know. Boone, I don't know him, you know, specifically, but I just really think we need managers to get, they got to go back to some of that, those characteristics. I mean,
yeah, and I got to cut you off because, like, you know what? We are too much. That's why I said we're this, and as a society, we've gotten soft, and in sports, we've gotten soft. These guys are big boys, they are millionaires. It can't be, oh, I don't want to rip a player, then I got to hear from his wife on social media, I got to hear from his agent, I got to hear from it. You know, like, we're trying to win here, right? And I know I didn't go pro, and I know I get trolled once in a while when I bring up my football playing good. Here's another Keith McPherson football reference from when he played back in the day. I had a coach that said, if I'm coaching you up, if I'm yelling at you, that means I care about you. When I stop doing that, that means I don't care. And that's when you should worry as a player. So it's about care. How do you care for a player, Aaron Boone? Are you caring for them by coddling them and protecting them in front of the media and not talking? We don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but we're assuming that nothing changes because nothing happens because nothing changes. So the care is, you know what? I am going to, maybe, you know, we saw it a little bit. It's like Gleyber Torres is the only one that can be made an example out of. Gleyber Torres can be benched. Gleyber Torres can be pulled from a game. Gleyber Torres had a great run in this postseason. He also had a gaffe. But it's just like, how do you show that you care about someone more? Right? You do that in the first 24 hours. You got to address it. You got to stop it. You got to nip it in the bud. That's why I talk about restaurant managers. You know, if someone's not cleaning the dishes correctly, you can't let it go on for weeks because then it goes on forever. Right? Like, if someone's not, you know, taking care of the menus and I don't know, the roll-ups and seat and be like, you gotta stop that stuff right now. No, this is how we do this so that everything can run correctly, so the machine can run correctly. And if I don't correct you here, it's going to lead to problems down the line. Jordan is in Livingston, New Jersey, on the Fan in New York. Jordan!
Hey, Keith, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. You're on.
Yeah, Keith.
Yeah, we got you.
Can you hear me?
Yep, you got it. Go for it.
Big fan. Just funny you said that about working in restaurants. I'm an attorney now. I worked in restaurants for years. The toughest managers I ever had were in restaurants. Anyway, you talk about being the smartest person in the room before. Girardi had them, won a ring with the Yankees. He had them overperform all those years between the core four kind of, petering out and the new kids. He squeezes the 17 team to within a win of the series. Mm-hmm. That's after Cashman passes on Verlander to keep the baby bombers. We know how that worked out.
Yeah.
They fire him, and what did they do? This is my whole thesis, and then I'm going to let you go. They did the equivalent of handing the keys to a Ferrari to someone who had never driven a car. I know Aaron Boone is a nice man, but the years go by. They pass on Cole. They pass on Greinke with those trades. They go to Houston. They beat the Yankees. And what happened to the baby bombers, Keith? Gary, Seve, Bird, Andujar, Gleyber. All that's going to be left after this year is Judge. And the organization has horrifically failed.
Yeah, and look at what Judge has become in the postseason.
My point is, I'm not a professional. I don't know the game that well. I'm just a diehard Yankees fan. No, it's 100% true. But my question to you, Keith, is, where we are now, is the window closed? Do you think the window's closed? And once again, I just want to say, it's great listening to you. I wish you just a lot of success in your career.
Thanks for the call, Jordan. He hung up. I didn't hang up. Thanks for the compliments. Thanks for what you're saying. That's something that hangs over us, too. But Aaron Boone cleared that this year because the narrative of the last manager took us to Game 7 of the ALCS and Aaron Boone hasn't. He cleared that hurdle. But what's hanging over his head with Girardi is just the narratives that came out about, like, oh, he was too hard on Gary Sanchez. I want you to be hard on players. Well, you could lose players if you're too hard on them. So what? Then I don't want those kind of players. Because you know what? If you can't take criticism, if you can't take coaching, then you can't take the bright lights in the big moment. The two are connected. The two are 100% connected. If you can't handle me chewing you out and embarrassing you in June, then you're not going to be able to make the play that we need to win the game in October. It's about your mettle. It's about your intestinal fortitude. It's about your mental toughness. Seriously. Like, lock in. I just don't know. Where are we headed? Where are we headed, man? Some people got it. Some people don't. But I feel like we are in a participation trophy era where someone literally called me tonight. Shout out to Liz for calling. We're too hard on Aaron Judge. No, we're not. He makes $40 million a year. Guy's got everything in the world. He drops a pop-up, and I damn sure wasn't Chan MVP, but he drops that pop-up, and I had doom in my eyes. I had fear in my heart. And Yankee fans are so sure that, no, it's not going to be anything, and we got to pick him up. They chant MVP. That's not an MVP moment. 888-808-1019, 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Actually, 3 hours down, 2 hours to go. Time is flying. I'm like, it's 9:55, not 8:55. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about the Jets. Maybe we'll talk about Juan Soto. But really, there's only one thing to talk about. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.